Today's reading will be in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, and that can be found on page 857 of the Pew Bibles. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day, in the city of David, a Savior who is the Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning, everyone. Good morning. Good to see you all. Happy Christmas Eve. Happy Christmas Eve. It's good to be here, and it's good to take time in this busy Christmas season to remind ourselves of the good news of the gospel. So let me pray, and then we'll look at this passage together. Father God, thank you for the good news of great joy that is for all people, that a Savior was born. And as we've sung, that Savior, Christ, was born for the unfaithful, for the weary, for the broken, for the lost. Thank you. And help us now, as we look at your word, to delight in all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine for a moment, you get your phone, or whatever device you use to get your news. Maybe you're still a newspaper person, that's fine. You open BBC News or Sky News or whatever you look at for your news feed, and you look and it says, "Breaking news. Henry Alexander," that's me for anyone who doesn't know, "Henry Alexander has brushed his teeth." Next article. "Breaking news, Henry Alexander has eaten yet another Jaffa cake." "Breaking news, Henry Alexander has walked to church." "Breaking news, Henry Alexander has taken out the bins." Slow news day, right? Not the most gripping news feed. And quite rightly, my life doesn't make the news. Quite rightly, my daily goings-on doesn't appear on the BBC News feed or the Huffington Post or whatever your news, or the Daily Mail or whatever you read. Why? Why does my life not make the news? Well, it's because it doesn't really affect anyone. I have my little circle of friends and the people I'm involved with, but beyond that, beyond Openshaw and my wider family, no one needs to know what's going on in my life. My life is not newsworthy. Why does something make the news? What is news? Well, news is something that has happened. News is an event, something that has taken place that changes everything. It's something that's happened that alters reality. It's something that happened that has ramifications, has ripple effects throughout society. News is something that has happened that changes everything. That's why a lot of the news articles we read at the moment are, there's quite a lot of stories about artificial intelligence, because the experts are saying something is happening. Something is going on and it's going to change things. So we all need to know about it. Another bigger example, ongoing example, is the war in Ukraine. Something has happened. You can't pretend it hasn't happened. It'd be wrong to pretend it hasn't happened and just ignore it. Something has happened that has caused great pain for many people, that has displaced people from their homes, that even for us over here has brought a cost of living crisis. Something has happened in time and history that changes reality, that changes things. And that's the message that we get in this passage. Something has happened, and it has changed reality. So firstly, something has happened. Most of my prep for this sermon was reading the old Christmas carol, "While shepherds watched their flocks by night," because it's basically these verses word for word. While shepherds watched their flocks by night, while seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around. What did they say? "Fear not, for mighty dread had seized their troubled minds. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind." What does the angel bring? Does he go, "Fear not, I bring you a big list of rules"? No. "Fear not, I bring you a philosophy, a theory for you to work out if you're clever enough. Fear not, I bring you a fairy story that you can choose to accept. It might be true for some of you, it might not be." No, he says, "Fear not, for I bring you good news." Good news. That's what the Christian faith is. It's not a list of rules. It's not a philosophy which you can agree to disagree, or you can, some can be true for some and not for others. It's news. Something 2,000 years ago happened. More specifically, someone happened, and it changed everything. It changed history. The Western calendar, this moment, Jesus coming into the world, this is the point on which the Western calendar hinges, BC, AD. Societies have been built on this news. Some countries say this news is illegal and try and stop it from getting in. The ramifications of this event, this person, this baby, changed everything. Something has happened which changes everything. And let's have a look at what that news is. Verse 10 gives us the target audience. This good news of great joy is for all people. If you're here today and it's your first time in church, this news is for you. This news is for anyone who will believe it. This news is for all people. No matter what kind of week you've had, no matter how much mess is in your life, this news is for all people. And then verse 11 gives us a time, a place, and a person. What does it say? For unto you is born this day. God has entered history. God has come into this world. God has been born. For unto you is born this day. In the city of David, in a place, in a physical place, in this physical world, unto you is born this day, who? A Savior, who is Christ, the promised King from the line of David, the King that had been waited for throughout history, is born this day, and he is Christ the Lord. God has come into this world. God has done something. God has entered reality. There's news. Something has happened. Someone has come. And what did he come to do? And this will be a sign for you, verse 12. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Sounds quite cozy on the face of it, doesn't it? Sounds like a lovely picture, a little cute baby lying there, all wrapped up nice and snuggly. And for many of us, for me included, Christmas can equal cozy. Christmas can equal comfort, or at least that's what we want it to mean. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, lovely. jingle bells, all these lovely, nostalgic, cute, cuddly images that our media and our Christmas cards and all sorts of things try and get us to feel. But it's important to remember that the message of Christmas is not cozy. It wasn't comfortable. Jesus was born in a manger. He was born into poverty. He was born into an animal's feeding trough. We had an early Christmas dinner with Beth's parents last week, and we finished our dinner, and there were some leftovers, and we gave those leftovers to the dogs. Jesus was born into the animal's leftovers. He was born into abject, utter poverty. And he was born in this manger because there was no room at the inn. Now, that word for inn doesn't actually appear in the original Greek. It just says something more like, there was no room. You see, Joseph and Mary were from the line of David, going to the city of David. They were going to their hometown, Joseph's hometown, where he would have been known. He would have had family there. But no one would take them in. No one would welcome them. It was just too scandalous, just too controversial. There was no room for these people. It wasn't just the B&Bs were full. It was no one would take them in. No one wanted them. Jesus was born into poverty and scandal and shame. And then next week, we're going to see in Matthew chapter 2, him and his family flee to Egypt, fearing their life. And we see his whole life, don't we? Rejection, pain, suffering. A life that started on a wooden manger led to a wooden cross. And he died. He died for, as we've already heard, to bring us life, to take our sins, that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. That's what Jesus came to do. Jesus didn't come to be cozy and comfortable. He came and suffered. And he came and gave up all his comfort. He gave up all his peace. He gave up all, as Alex said earlier, he emptied himself. He left heaven, came to this earth, and lived a life of poverty. And he gave up his peace. Why? Why use this word peace? Because what's the message? What's the reason Jesus came? Verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace with whom he is pleased. Jesus came and gave up his peace to make peace. We're called in the Bible to obey God, to obey his law. Why? For peace. To live in relationship with God, because that's how we were created, to live well in this world. We're called to do that. And God's law calls us to treat God as nothing less than he is. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. But we don't do that. We don't live at peace with God. We don't live at peace with other people. We don't live in peace. There's a lack of peace there. Imagine for a moment, you might not need to imagine this actually. Imagine in a household, one sibling kicks another sibling. That happens quite regularly in my household. Imagine my son just goes up, he wants a toy, and he goes, oh, I'm having that toy, and I'm off. What happens to my son? You need to go sit on the step, and you need to come and say sorry to your sister. There's a consequence because there's a lack of peace. He's not treated his sister as she should be treated. Imagine now what happens if you go up to a policeman and kick the policeman. It's going to be a worse punishment than sitting on the step for a few minutes. There's going to be some sort of fine, some sort of consequence in order to pay for your actions. Now imagine you went up. I don't know how this would happen, but you went up to King Charles and knocked him one. Gave him a kick in the ribs or something. Don't do that, okay? Don't do that. But imagine you did. What would be the consequence? Huge. It'd probably be on the news. Someone's infiltrated the Buckingham Palace and kicked the king. There'd be a consequence. A heavy consequence. Because the king is so valuable. Because the king is deemed as super, super important. And you've treated him as less important than he deserves to be treated. We spend our lives kicking God. We spend our lives not treating him as he deserves to be treated. We spend our lives pretending as if he doesn't exist. We spend our lives trying to do life without him when he's created us and given us life and given us everything. When we owe him everything, we treat him as nothing. And that means there's a consequence. That means there's no peace between us and God. That means left to our own devices, we'd be left separate from God, away from him, alienated from God. So why did Jesus come? To bring peace on earth. Mercy, mild. God and sinners reconciled. Jesus came to bring peace on earth. Peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. To those on whom he shows grace. Jesus came through grace to bring peace between us and God. And in so doing, bringing peace to the world. Peace in our relationships. Peace as we unite around Jesus Christ. The hope of one day, no more war, only peace. Peace to my heart as I don't have to wonder anymore. Am I good enough? Have I met the standard? Peace in my relationships as I'm able to forgive because I've seen the forgiveness that Jesus has given me. Jesus came to shower this world with peace. Something has happened. Something has happened which changes everything. A Savior has come. Jesus has left the peace of heaven to bring peace to the world. And because something has happened, because this is news, because something has happened in reality, that means that Christianity is not irrelevant, but is radical. Christianity has changed the world. Christianity has changed the world so much that we actually sometimes don't realize how much influence it's had on this world. But you can read various historians, various experts nowadays who will say Christianity has molded and shaped the Western world. So many of the ways we think are influenced by Christianity. So many countries, as I said earlier, say this Bible, this news is illegal. You can't dismiss Christianity as irrelevant because it has had an impact, a huge impact, more than we could ever really measure. Also, another implication, Christianity is not relative, but it's real. See, God came into this world. Jesus walked on this earth. Jesus lived on this earth, and he died at the hands of the Romans. Something happened in history which changed the world, which means it's impossible. It's illogical to say, well, Christianity is true for them, but not true for me. We like to do that in our culture, but we can't do that with Christianity because it's based on historical events that happened, that are historically verifiable. So we have to reckon with it. Is this true or is this not? We have to ask that question. It's either completely true or completely false. It can't be true for one person and not true for another because it's news that has happened. And lastly, Christianity is not inclusive, but it's welcoming. You see, the message of Christianity is for all people. Anyone is welcome. But the modern message of inclusion says there's nothing wrong. You can live exactly how you want. You can do whatever you want, and that's fine. You live your life, you live your life, you live your life. And what we end up doing is drawing lines around individuals and living fragmented, individualistic lives. Christianity says, no, there is a really big problem. There is a big problem in our lives and in our world, and that's that we don't have peace with God. And we need peace with God, and here's the solution, and anyone is welcome to come and receive that solution. Anyone is welcome to come and receive the gospel message. This is good news for all people. There is a big problem. Christianity says this is your biggest problem, that we don't have peace with God, and here is the solution. Come on in, wherever you're from, whoever you are. And this creates peace. This creates a society of peace if we were to follow it, because everyone draws lines somewhere in life. Everyone puts lines between themselves and other people, whether that's these people are qualified to do my job and these people aren't. These people are my family, these people aren't. These people draw too many lines, so they're what's wrong with the world, so I'm going to draw a line between me and them. Everyone draws lines. You have to. These are people from Openshaw, these are people who are not. These are the political party that have things wrong. This is the political party that have stuff right. We all draw lines in every sphere of life. And Christianity draws a line too. It says, those who believe have peace with God, and those who don't believe do not have peace with God and need to be saved. But Christianity is the only line that is crossed by grace. Christianity is the only line that doesn't say, the people on the other side, they're not as good as me. Christianity is the only line that says, you don't have to change, that you're not good enough. Christianity is the only line that says, actually, the people on the other side, they could well be better than me. They could well be morally superior to me. They could well be cleverer and more qualified than me. But here I am by grace and grace alone. And a worldview like that is a worldview of peace. A worldview of that says, come on in. Come and see what I've got. Come on and taste this good news. Because you don't have to be from a certain place. You don't have to have certain qualifications. You don't have to tick certain boxes. You just have to know that there is a Savior who has come to bring peace. Something has happened which changes the world, which changes everything. So I want to just now move on to thinking about how does it change? What impact does this news make to those who receive it? How might this news change you today? What impact might it have on your Christmas? This news changes everything. Becoming a Christian changes everything because a Christian is taken up, taken in. A Christian tells about the news and a Christian treasures the news. Firstly, a Christian is taken up. What was happening to these shepherds before the angels came? They were doing their job, right? They were sitting, watching their sheep, focused on their sheep. They were probably really good at their job. You know, looking after their sheep, caring for their sheep, focused. But they weren't looking for God. They weren't searching for the Messiah. What happened is God broke into their lives. God showed them his glory. The angel of the Lord brought the message of good news to them, and their lives were changed forever. They were taken up. They had an encounter with the living God. About 2 years ago, I decided to take up gardening. It lasted about 2 weeks. I started growing some tomatoes, and in 2 weeks' time, those tomatoes were dead and gone. I still think it was Beth's fault, but you can talk to her about that later. I took something up, and 2 weeks later, it's gone. We do that, don't we? New Year's Eve's coming up. How many of us have taken up a New Year's resolution, and, oh dear, 2 months later, we'll leave that for now. We take stuff up, and we often let it go. But the good news of Christianity is that it's not about us taking something up. It's not about our ability to keep trusting. God takes us up. God works in our lives, and God works in our hearts, and God never does not finish. That's a really bad sentence. God always completes the work he starts. God takes us up, works in our lives, and he will bring that work to completion. If you're a Christian here, God has taken you up. God has worked in your life. Even if you had an experience of seeking before you became a Christian, where you were looking for God, everyone who's a Christian will look back and go, that wasn't me. I didn't do that. That wasn't my faithfulness. That wasn't my ability. That wasn't my intellect. God found me. God has worked in my life and taken me up. That's how God works. Christians are taken up, but they're also taken in. Because where were these shepherds when the angels came to them? They were out on the field. They weren't in the palace. They weren't in the center of town. They weren't where you'd expect a royal announcement to be made. They were outside the city wall. They were outsiders. Shepherds were just really ordinary people. No special qualifications, no political allegiance, just really ordinary. You wouldn't notice them if you passed by them on the street, except they'd have loads of sheep with them. But they're just ordinary people who are outside the city. And what does our God do? He goes outside the city and says, come and see. Come in. Come and see your Savior. God goes to the outsider to bring people in. My son Zach was playing outside the other day, and it started to pour with rain. Strange for Manchester, right? It started to pour and pour with rain, and he was oblivious. He just kept playing, kept doing his thing, kept, you know, hitting things, throwing things, breaking things, carried on doing what he did. And I knew if he stays outside for too long, he's going to get cold, he's going to get damp, he could get poorly, all those things. So what did I do? I opened the door, I picked him up, and I brought him inside. All of us, we're like Zach. And we've been brought in by our Father. If you're believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, you have been brought in from the cold, from the outside, to know your Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important to remember that at Christmas because it means there's nothing in me that qualifies me to be saved to know Jesus. There's nothing in me that makes me worthy. There's nothing in me that makes me a Christian apart from the grace of God. It's not about how much serving I've done this Christmas. It's not about how generous I've been. It's not about how many people I've got around my dinner table. I stand here a Christian because my Father has brought me in. Has taken me in from the outside and revealed his Son to me. A Christian is taken up, taken in. A Christian also tells the news. I love the impact that this situation has on the shepherds. You see, verses 17 and 18, and when they saw it, when they saw Jesus there in the stable, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. The shepherds see Jesus. And they can't help but tell. They're like little children who have just received the best present, who they want to show everyone. They tell everyone they meet. They go away praising and glorifying God. And people are going, hold on, there's something going on here. There's something that's happened. Maybe we should go and have a look. The shepherds see and they tell. And it's this same message that our world craves and our world needs. What's really interesting is that the shepherds, it wasn't the big spiritual experience alone that saved them. Because the shepherds saw the angels and they were completely terrified. Don't blame them. But then what happens? The angels tell them of the good news. And then they are drawn to see Jesus. And it's the same message that the angels bring, and it's the same message that the shepherds go and spread that has gripped our world, and now billions of people claim the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it's the same message that we have today. We don't have to be clever. The shepherds weren't super clever. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to be powerful. We just need to see and enjoy the Lord Jesus and tell people that there is news. That something has happened which changes everything. Christians are taken up. Christians are taken in. Christians tell the news. And lastly, Christians treasure a message. There's a famous verse at the end of this passage that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. What do you do when you treasure something? You store it. You protect it. You keep it close. You don't let it get away from you. You always know where it is. You're affectionate towards it. You build your life on it. And that's what Mary does with the message and the work of God. She sees all that has happened. And she almost, you can see her taking a mental picture of it, taking that time to savor it and push it down deep into her heart, like burying treasure. You dig a hole, you put the treasure in, you cover it up. Mary's almost pressing these truths down into her heart so she's not going to forget them. Maybe the words of the angel were going round and round in her head. And as she looks out on this crazy scene of in a stable with some sheep and some cows and some shepherds, just wondering what is going on. What does she choose to do? She treasures. She ponders. She delights in what the Lord is doing in her life. We're about to sing a song that says, our hearts are as busy as Bethlehem. Hear him knock, don't say there's no room at the inn. I bet there's people in here, and I think I'm included, the way at the moment your heart just feels busy, bustling, constant, restless, maybe a lack of security, maybe a wondering, am I enough? Am I good enough? Would you hear the good news? Would you hear Jesus knocking on your heart? And would you welcome him in and let him bring peace into your life? Peace from wondering, am I good enough? Peace from wondering, do I meet the mark? Peace from that relationship which you just can't bring forgiveness into? Would you allow Jesus to bring peace into your life? Would you take this moment now to slow down and to treasure and to ponder the work of Jesus? I love that song, Mary, Did You Know? It came on yesterday when I had the kids at soft play. It was a good moment because it was crazy, but I had Bible truth going on at the same time. And it asked that question, Mary, did you know? Did you know that your baby boy would save the nations? Mary, did you know your baby boy would one day walk on water? Did you know the child that you delivered would soon deliver you? I'm sure there's times where she wondered, as she was raising Jesus, as she was teaching him to get dressed, this boy is supposed to be the savior of the world. As she was seeing him rejected by his friends and his family, maybe she wondered, what's going on here, God? Why are you allowing this to happen? Maybe as she just sat there in this completely full of poverty and shame and scandal, she wondered, God, is this really your plan? Is this really what you're doing? At that moment, what did she have to go on? She had the promises of the Old Testament that she sung about in Luke chapter 1. She had the good news of the gospel declared to her by the angels. She had God's word. And what did she choose to do? She chose to treasure it. She chose to ponder on it. And that's what kept her going. That's what kept her trusting. And don't we have the same? Don't we have a world that feels crazy and busy and relentless? Don't we have a news cycle that feels depressing and dangerous and scary? Would we be people that treasure the very words that Mary had, the very Jesus that Mary raised? Would we be people that treasure and ponder in the midst of the busyness? Would we be people that treasure Jesus? And would we allow him to bring peace into our lives? Because something has happened. Something has happened. There is good news of great joy that is for all the people. And that news is peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Let me pray for us. God, I want to pray and thank you and acknowledge that our hearts, as busy as Bethlehem, please bring us your peace. Help us to know your peace. Help us to trust in what you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you've taken us up. You've taken us in. Would we be people that tell the world of this news? And would we be people that treasure all that you've done for us? Amen.